on RSN 927. Let's get the Boomer Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, ready for the Friday footy preview. Boomer, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, boys. And Whitey, can you just run me through that again, please? This is low scoring, which is actually high scoring. One of the all-time greats. I love that.
Yes. Well, low scoring in that it's low... It's high scoring because they're scoring lots of fours and fives. It's low scoring because they're -1 and -2 and not -8.
Yeah, I was just trying to get my head around it. Well explained. Thank you very much. Good to be back, boys. Another big week in football, isn't it?
Well, it's a big week in your house. I saw yesterday, Boomer, there was a horse in your kitchen.
My house. Well, it's a horse if it's standing next to me because I'm small, but it's actually a miniature pony, to be quite honest. And this is a true story, Daniel. I'm not sure if I mentioned it last couple of weeks, but 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went outside to mow my lawns and there was a pony standing in my yard. I've got a little bit of acreage, so there's a little bit of grass there. And so I mow my lawns and I shut my front gate because I didn't want the pony to escape. My wife goes up to the vet and tells the vet that we've got a pony. So they find out who it is. They come up there and they realise the kids like the pony. And they said, you can just keep it until we need it to, you know, eat our grass. So the pony's been here for 2 weeks. I left the back door ajar. Last night when I put the bins out. And I come back inside and there was a pony in my kitchen. And grabbed an orange off the bench and ate it, but just squeezed it everywhere. So I had orange over my bench, over my new floorboards. It was unbelievable. It was like Mr. Ed. It was like watching an episode of Mr. Ed there for about 3 minutes at my house last night. It was great.
Brilliant. That is funny stuff. Very funny stuff. Imagine having a pony in the kitchen just eating oranges and squeezing juice all over the floor. That's not great. That's not fantastic.
A little bit different. A little bit different, but yeah. That's different.
You you country folk up there in all that land, you crazy people you are.
Yeah, us country folk out in the city, us country folk.
Lots happening in the world of footy, Boomer, so we need to get our teeth into it because round 14 is a very, very interesting round of footy. And let's get straight into Friday night, I reckon, because it's a cracker. We had two good games, entertaining games last night, different sort of games, but entertaining games. And I reckon we'll get another one tonight, Boomer, with the Cats taking on the Bulldogs. It's at Metricon Stadium for those playing at home, and it starts at 7:50. Check your local guides. For the Bulldogs, Tory Dixon and Will Hayes comes back in. Benny Hayes will be buying slabs willy-nilly with this sort of stuff going on. Dixon and Hayes comes in for Ben Cavara and Paddy Lipinski. Both have been omitted. And for the Cats, Harry Taylor's back. Zach Tui's back as well. So two big ins for the Cats. Sava Radigalia is out again. And Jordan Clark also omitted for the Cats. Now, we've got, what have we got, fourth playing eighth or something at the moment, whatever it might be, coming into this round. The Cats are red hot at the moment, Boomer, and the Dogs' best, as we've discussed a few times, is good enough when they win the ball around the contest. Can they do that tonight against the Cats?
Well, I think this is going to be a ripper half for a number of reasons. Just for the ladder position, I know we've only got a handful of games to go, but Geelong win this, they sit on top of the AFL ladder tonight before Port and Brisbane both play. Yep. They've won their last four in a row now, so they're on fire. On the other hand, the Western Bulldogs will get a little break on a few teams just sitting outside the eight. So a massive game of importance just through ladder position. Just a couple of little stats, boys. Bulldogs actually haven't beat a top eight team this year. I really like what they're doing of late. They've got back to their style of football, which I like, and they've got some personnel back as well. Great to see Norton up forward. You know, he's capable of kicking a bag. And I'm absolutely loving what's... who's kicking? Wallace. Wallace is just kicking goals. Yeah. And I love seeing it because a couple of years ago, you go back and he was in and out of that team and couldn't get a spot in that midfield. Well, he's made himself as one of the better little small forwards in the competition and still finding the football. So I'm loving what they're doing. I think they need to find another avenue to goal. I don't think they can rely on Wallace, and Norton will kick the goals for him. But Geelong's style of football now, guys, is completely different to everybody else in the competition. They're the highest scoring team in the competition. And I'm loving, they maintain possession. We know what they do in their back half and through the wings. But as soon as they get the one-on-one opportunity to go forward to Hawkins, they've made him their best forward in the competition by an absolute mile now. I mentioned Charlie Dixon a couple of weeks ago. Well, Hawkins has gone past him in leaps and bounds. So I'm loving what the Cats' style is. Again, maintaining possession. They're the highest scoring team in the competition, which is absolutely fantastic, and Hawkins is on fire. I mentioned their points four. Well, they're the second lowest scoring. Sorry, they hold the teams to the most scores against as well. So they're second on the ladder there. I like what Geelong are doing. I like what the Bulldogs are doing. I think this is match of the round for me. There's no doubt in my mind that this can be an absolute ripper game if Bulldogs bring their A game. If they bring that style of football where they play in the phone booth and they can bring the pressure, I think this is going to be a really good game.
Well, I think they're going to have to bring the pressure wider because Geelong are a kick mark sort of team. If they need to keep Geelong in motion tonight, the Dogs, if there are any chance to win this game. I reckon if they allow Geelong to control the tempo through their kick marks, I think it's all over.
Yeah, and we spoke to Grian Myers yesterday on the program, and what he did actually confirm to us was that there was a distinct change of football from them after the Collingwood game. They didn't like the way they played in that Collingwood game, that they were too slow, and they made a conscious decision to speed it up after that. So I thought that was an interesting insight from Grian yesterday. I think, to sort of Boomer's point a little bit, the Bulldogs have actually beaten Geelong two of the last three times they've played. So the Dogs know how they can beat Geelong. It's just a question of whether they're good enough and consistent enough to be able to beat Geelong, because that's the problem with the Dogs this year. They've been incredibly inconsistent. So I'm going with Geelong based more on the fact I trust what Geelong's doing over the course of the season as opposed to the Dogs. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Dogs could cause an upset if they behave themselves tonight.
Whitey, it's the we talk about that consistency. We know McRae, Hunter, Smith, Bontempelli, that's the engine room now for the Western Bulldogs. You pretty much know what you're going to get from them every single week, but it's the how for them. For me, it's the how. It's if they get their possessions through the middle of the ground in the back half and they throw it around, they're all going to have 25. We know that. But if they get them in the dangerous part of the ground and kick the ball inside 50 and give Norton and Wallace and these type of guys an opportunity, that's the consistency part for me. So it's not the consistency of getting the ball. We know the numbers will be there. It's where and how they get that football.
Unfortunately, boys, this is going to be a real tempo game tonight because I think Geelong won't want to let the Bulldogs get too much ball on the outside. That will really concern Geelong with their speed. What they were able to do to Melbourne in stages of the game last week, the Bulldogs, when they got outside that contest, they looked outstanding with their ball movement. So I don't think Geelong will allow that, albeit Boomer, that Geelong have started to move the ball quickly in cells and get it into Hawkins a lot quicker. Whitey mentioned that the Bulldogs have beaten Geelong the last couple of times. That's how they've done it, through quick ball movement. Geelong don't like teams that move the ball quickly against them because they've always felt like Geelong are the best tempo team in the competition. Their tempo over the last couple of weeks has been quick. And that's really helped them. But I just don't think tonight's game is going to be a real quick, free-flowing game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have concerns for the forward line of the Dogs, the way that the Cats defend as well, up the ground as well as with in the back six situation. If Bruce has got to step up for the Cats, the Dogs tonight. Otherwise, it's just about curtains for them. I'll be tipping the Cats. Whitey's tipping the Cats. Rami, you're on the Cats?
Yep.
I'm on the Cats.
Boomer?
Yeah, I agree with you, Huff. I think they've got to find that other avenue to goal. If they can have three goal kickers that kick multiple, and Bruce needs to be that third, no doubt, I think the Bulldogs can actually win with their ball movement if they get it right. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs. I'm going to give them an opportunity, and I'm going to go with the Bulldogs this week.
All right. That's what's happening in that game. Let's have a look at some Saturday action. Let's start with the night game. Melbourne and St Kilda. It's a very interesting affair. The D's, we know, we're sort of believers in Whitey, although last week didn't help their cause. And the Saints have been going absolutely gangbusters. No teams as yet as to what's going on in terms of selection. But the Saints have been a really good conveyance. Three of the last four, the Demons have won. They lost last week, of course, to the Bulldogs. They got comprehensively pantsed in that third term particularly. And the Saints have had some really good opposition in the last couple of weeks. They were found wanting against the Cats. They did a number on the Bombers and then just went down to the Lions. Rama, have you got an indication about where this might be won in this game between the Cats, the Demons and the Saints?
Who's the big out, Whitey, for the Saints? Your man Steve-O is on Twitter last night, was talking about a big out for the Saints this week.
I think it's Max King.
He's a big in terms of big and little. He's big.
So then that will mean Battle will come and play as a permanent forward, I imagine, or they'll have Ryder playing as a permanent forward this week. I think that the Saints are still going well, albeit they lost last week against the Lions. I thought they played a really good brand of football still. So you look at watching the Demons last week, they played one good quarter of football against the Dogs in that second quarter. Then after that, you know, the Dogs were able to really do as they pleased against them. Once that, again, the problem with the Demons, and we've all said this for years, once the ball got outside the contest, the Demons just, they don't look organised enough when the ball's in movement from the opposition. It just seemed to be able to flow from one end of the ground to the other. That's the Saints' one wood at the moment with their ball movement, their flow and their speed. So I think I'm picking the Saints in this one, half.
I'm keen for Whitey's take on this because he's a believer. We're believers in the D's and have been. We're running out of time here, Whitey.
Yeah, I know that. I slightly disagree with Rama. I reckon Melbourne had one bad quarter as opposed to one good quarter. And I think if you take out the third quarter, I reckon Melbourne was okay. I don't think they've been better. And they did fail the test against a better team, having had good wins against an understrength Collingwood and the easy kill games. But I'm going to tip them here, not with a great deal of confidence, but I think St Kilda were a bit disappointing last week against Brisbane. They were okay, but if Brisbane had kicked straight, I reckon the margin would have been a bit more. And look, this is the most difficult round to tip in for the entire season. I just want to make that clear, but I'm leaning just towards Melbourne.
Well, Boomer, you can clear it up.
The money's on.
Yeah, that's why. So you're hoping.
Max Gawn back.
You don't truly believe that.
Max Gawn helps back.
You don't truly believe that.
Hey? No,
you're hoping.
I'm not as sold on St Kilda as a lot of other people are, and I'm probably going to be made to look silly. They've definitely improved, but I'm still not quite sure about St Kilda, whereas I'm a bit more of a believer in Melbourne, particularly their top end.
Boomer, clean this up for us, can you? What's going to happen?
You two boys finished? You two boys finished? Daniel and I can actually talk some sense here. You can argue how many good quarters they had. We'll jump in the middle. Maybe they had two instead of one or three. But I agree with you, Wade. I think Gawn is a massive inclusion. Of course, he's an All-Australian ruckman and a very, very good player. I just like what the Saints are doing with their ball movement. I do agree with Rama with their ball movement there. And they're the third highest scoring team in the competition. And being an offensive player and an offensive mindset, I'm loving teams being able to move the ball. And that's why I've enjoyed watching Geelong again, because they are moving the ball quicker through that middle part of the ground. I think St Kilda's outside speed will really worry the Demons. And I think the Saints will win this one.
All right, so Saints for you, Saints for Rama. Demons for you, Whitey. I'm on the Saints as well. I think the Saints win this one. I think they'll be too good. Let's have a look at Sunday. Let's have a look at Carlton Collingwood on Sunday. It's always a good clash, Rama. And we just spoke to Jordan Ruffhead about it before. It's at the Gabba on Sunday afternoon, 3:35. Check your local guides. The Blues have been much better in the last little while, certainly for the year, than what they've been previous years. And we're still not sure what the Magpies are. And that performance against the D's 2 weeks ago is sort of hovering over them at the moment, the Magpies. They did a bit of a number on the Kangas last week, but the Blues are a much better team than the Kangas. Rama, the Blues a chance to beat the Pies here and really put a dent in their finals chances?
Yep, definitely. Oh, I think the Blues are going well now. They look structured, they look organised, they look like they've got a real identity now as a team. Collingwood are searching for that form. I think, you know, we heard Jordan Ruffhead a little bit earlier talk about, we got the win, but we started to find a little bit of the structure and the way we wanted to play again. So, you know, I'm a believer in the Pies. I think they're at their best. They're one of the very better teams in the competition. I think Carlton are going to give them a real run for their money. on Sunday is the game, I think. Yep. You said they're half. I like Carlton's back line. I like what Wiedering's doing. I know he's playing a little bit injured at the moment, but he's still good enough to be playing week in, week out. Their midfield looks organised. They still need another midfielder, no doubt, the Blues. But they look better when they're going forward. So I'm sorry, Joey, but I think I'm going to tip the Blues this week.
Boomer, the Magpies have beaten the last four games. They've won three and lost one. That one against the Demons they lost, but the other games they won were against the Kangaroos, your boys, the Crows and the Swans. It's not exactly premiership form, is it?
No, they haven't played the best teams in the competition, and let's be truthful, last week's game wasn't the greatest game to watch of AFL football between the Kangas and the Pies, and no. I just think if they bring that performance against a better team in the Blues, that they might get really worried. And I'm liking what the Blues are doing at the minute. I think they're starting to find that forward structure that's just getting there now. I know Eddie and the Small still haven't kicked a lot of goals, but their leadership down there with those tools, and Harry McKay, he's going to be a very good player. They just need Casbolt to kick straight, and I think they can do some damage. So again, just looking at ladder position, Carlton wins this. They go half a game behind the Pies and hold on to a top eight opportunity. The Pies lose this one, and they're just going to slip out just slightly, and teams are going to overtake them. So massive gain for ladder position. But I'm with Ramo again. I'm going to go with the Blues. I think they can really worry him.
I'm on the Blues here, Whitey.
Yeah, I am as well. Carlton's playing better than Collingwood. So despite the fact the Magpies have won three of the last four, as you said, half, it's who they've beaten. Whereas the Blues have actually been quite consistent. Even in games they haven't won, they've been right in them. And I think Carlton's tall forward line can worry Collingwood. And I just reckon the Blues, their defence is very settled. They're getting a lot of contributors. Collingwood aren't getting a lot of contributors. To me, it's a lot of boxes are ticked for Carlton in this one.
All right, we're all going for the Blues in that one. Let's go through the other games for the tips before we get to the Friday face-off. So we're all tipping. We've done the Friday night. Port Adelaide, Sydney, anyone tipping the Swans?
No.
Nope.
Not for me.
No, all on the Port. Fremantle and the Giants, there's a cracker at Optus Stadium. I'm on the Dockers. Rummer?
Oh, why did it go first? I'm on the Giants.
You're on the Giants. Whitey, who you got?
No, I'm on Fremantle. I think they can stop the Giants from being able to score. So I really like the Freo Dockers in this one.
Boomer?
Yeah, another really good game this weekend. I'm going to go with the Giants.
Giants they for need you. To so win this. 2-2 split on that one. The other game is Gold Coast and North Melbourne. I know who you're going for, Boomer. Whitey, who are you tipping?
Yes.
I'm actually going to go for North Melbourne in this one.
Righto. Rama?
And don't ask me why, because I've got no idea.
No, the Suns.
What are you tipping on the back of that, Whitey? They haven't been great in the last couple of weeks, unfortunately.
But the Suns haven't won for a long time, and I just think they're getting a bit tired. And North Melbourne, they showed some good signs in the first half of at least being competitive. So, I don't know. I really don't know that one.
The chance of an easy kill might get them up and about, the Gold Coast Suns, fellas. They'll win that one, as far as I'm concerned, as well. All right, there are the tips. Let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Ribera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
All right, it's Whitey's choice in the Friday face-off. If you want to register to be a part of it, rsn.net.au. Whitey, you don't even know what category. What is it, please?
No, I'd completely forgotten about this. I'm going to pay tribute to my great friend Adam Ramanaskis and go with contested possessions.
Kentuckies!
Kentuckies!
Friday night action, the Bulldogs and the Cats. Kentucky possessions. Rama, you get first crack at this.
I do get first crack at this. Really interesting game tonight. Yeah, could go any way, this
Don't
one.
Don't stall, mate. Just get your tip in.
I will take Tom Liberatore.
Tom Liberatore for the Dogs for contested possessions. By the way, you're playing for Peter French from Sunbury. Good luck to you, Pete. I'm playing for Trevor Nelson from Mount Waverley. Trev, we're home and host here because Clayton Oliver will be getting the job done, even though he doesn't play for the Bulldogs. See that? Just seeing if you're listening. No, Danger's going to win tonight. Danger's going to win tonight. Just throw a little curveball at you there. Danger tonight for Trevor Nelson from Mount Waverley. Boomer, you get a crack at it?
Yes, it's a really good question that you pose, guys.
Don't pause, mate. Don't be drifting. Or
I had Dangerfield because I haven't. Yep. I didn't know the category, so I haven't looked up my stats. And I had Dangerfield as the one, but I'm going to go inside. I'm going to go with. Oh, he doesn't get a lot of inside ball here. What's going on? The Bulldogs. Have you got Bontempelli being picked yet?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bont.
You can have him. Jerry Watts from Lara, you've got the Bont. And Whitey, the carryover champ. Josh Henry from Roval is your contestant.
Yeah, we might get 4 points this week after three last week because we're going with Jacka McRae. That's our boy, Jacka McRae.
Jacka McRae, he'll be on the outside, won't get any inside katekis. But good luck to Josh Henry from Roval for Jacka McRae. Boomer, great work from you. Look forward to catching up with you next week, mate. Have a great weekend with that horse.
No worries. I'm